Bonjour, bonjour, adieu, adieu. Welcome back to the In Between People podcast, episode 6. I'm Leslie, one of the co-hosts for this podcast. On this episode, we are joined by Kweku, also known as Kenya Rami. And we'll be talking about what drag life is like on this episode. So I hope you enjoy.
Shout out to Jeremiah Otis for creating our intro song called Cree Anthem. Today we are joined by Kenya Rami. Kenya, did you want to give our listeners an introduction to who you are?
Yes, of course. Hello, everyone. So I am Kenya Rami. I'm so glad to be on the podcast today. I use they, them, he, him, and she, her pronouns, depending on whether or not I'm in drag or out of drag. From Thunder Bay, but now living in the GTA, and I'm glad to be here.
Thank you so much for joining us. I'm very grateful for your time today. I know that you have some exciting things upcoming after this, so we won't take too much of your time. We did want to kind of discuss... how did you get into drag?
Yeah, of course. So I've always kind of like being like a young queer person and not even being out yet, kind of like experiencing like different aspects of queer culture, like in the mix. I was a theater kid and stuff like that. So I would always see like little bits of it and like being like shown bits of drag. And I was like, oh, that's very interesting. I really like that. And then like, I was like, ooh, very fun. And then I got introduced like knowing drag. And then later on, I watched RuPaul's Drag Race. I actually got, my mom got me into watching it at first initially because I was like, what is this show? What are these drag queens doing on a TV show? This is interesting. And so I started watching that and I was like, oh, that's cool. And then as I was like growing up and I graduated high school and stuff like that, I started going to like more drag shows and stuff like that. And like just kind of like being more involved in like queer community and stuff like that within Thunder Bay. And so there was this one queen who I saw one of these shows that I thought was like phenomenal. I was like, wow, she's amazing. If I ever do drag, like I want to do drag like her. Amazing, phenomenal. I was just so enamored by her. And then flash forward like a year or so later, so Sephora in Thunder Bay had opened at the time, and so I decided to apply and work there. I ended up getting a job there, and when I walked in for my first day of a training, I saw the drag queen that I was so obsessed with, and I was like, okay, this is a sign. Like, I'm going to become friends with her. I'm going to make her my drag mom. Like, because I was really looked up to her, because at the time, She was one of the only, I think, one other person who was a POC queen in Thunder Bay. And I was like, the representation she gives, her drag is phenomenal, her performance presence is phenomenal. Her drag name at the time was Victoria Justice. She no longer does drag, but she like really inspired me, and like, I became friends with her. I told her I wanted to do drag. She put me in drag for the first time. And like ever since then, it's been like great. And like through drag, she ended up finding and discovering herself as a trans woman, and now she no longer does drag, but she continues to support my career and my adventures with drag. And yeah,
awesome. Thank you so much for giving us a little bit of an insight into where you come from and how you got into drag. I've watched Victorian Injustice as well. Phenomenal. Yes. I was also wondering, like, how did you come up with the name Kenya Rami?
Well, I was really, like, so I was, like, playing around with a lot of different names. And I've always liked, like, the drag names that are, like, play on words and stuff like that. And so I was like, okay, I want to do a play on words. But I was also thinking I want to do something on, like, along the lines of, like, Black heritage and, like representing myself and stuff like that. I know I have some, I'm mainly Ghanaian, but I have Kenyan background. So I was like, okay, like I couldn't think of any like drag name that like was a play on words that went with like Ghana. So I was like, okay, we'll go with Kenya since I have like some Kenyan ancestry. It was like a stretch, but I was like, okay, I have kind of some. So I was like, okay, Kenya. And I was like, okay, can we work with that? I was like, Kenya Ram. And I was just playing around with a lot of different words. Then I kind of stumbled on Kenya Rami. And I was like, oh, like Kenya Rami. I don't know, it's kind of escape, and I was like, Kenya Rami. And I was like, you know what, like we'll go with that. That works. And it's funny, like a lot of people don't realize it at first, but I like thank God, because sometimes I'm like, it's depending on where I'm performing, what I'm doing, it's like a little like kind of not PG, but I really love the name. And yeah,
I actually just caught on to that just now. Yeah. I like how it's like so subtle, but then as soon as you say it, like Rami, it's like, oh shit.
Yeah.
So another question that I kind of wanted to ask was, When did you have, or sorry, wait. Have you ever been scared to fully express yourself as a young LGBTQ person?
Oh, yeah, of course, several times. I mean, being a queer person and growing up in Thunder Bay is can be a very scary experience sometimes. As much as I love Thunder Bay and I love a lot of the people in Thunder Bay and I love some of the cultural aspects and things like that, there's also, unfortunately, Thunder Bay breeds a lot of hate. Hate against BIPOC individuals, hate against queer people. And because of that, oftentimes I remember, like, aspects of growing up in school being like bullied because, like, I wasn't even out, but bullied because I acted a certain way, bullied because of my race. People who tell me I'd whitewashed because I didn't act black because of the way they perceive what black people is. Because, you know, Thunder Bay being going to a predominantly white school, especially at that time, like in elementary school, being literally the only black kid in my school, they all have these weird preconceived notions of what a black person's supposed to act because of, like, whitewashed media. So, like, them calling me an Oreo because they're like, you don't act black, but then, like, also at the same time calling me racial slurs at the same time. So it was like, where did I fit? And then, like, growing up and, like, as I started to express more of, like, what I didn't realize at the time because I wasn't out, like, queer aspects of my identity and stuff like that, being bullied in high school for that. I remember one time in grade 12, I literally got, like, pee-soaked toilet paper thrown at me over the stalls because of it. And, you know, like, it was a really hard experience, but I think there's, like, a unique thing about the queer community that, like, those, as much as we shouldn't have to deal with those kind of things, like, it helps, it makes us stronger, and as we grow into adulthood, like, it creates solidarity around us, and, like, it kind of, like, we, like, band together and, like, on our kind of lived trauma bonding, on our lived experiences, and kind of, like, we create this solid community that helps, like, fend off against attacks and things like that. And I think Thunder Bay is making a lot of strides and forward towards being more, not necessarily like drowning out the voices, but, like, when those inequalities exist, so more people are banding together to address them now.
Just as an aside, what school did you go to?
I went to Westgate as a high school.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I went to Westgate. Yeah.
I had similar issues, like, in high school and in middle school. I went to St. Pat's, though, but I used to have, like, those kinds of things said to me as well. But in regards to, like, my indigeneity, like, people would be like, well, you're not like the other Indians. I'm just like, what?
No, it's wild. And even, like, thinking back to, like, my time in, like, high school and stuff like that, administration telling me that, like, either I wasn't acting black or they didn't think I was going to go anywhere or amount to anything because I was black. And, like, having to, like, in the back of my mind, like, oh, this constant, like, okay, maybe they are right. But also, like, being like, no, I have to prove them wrong. Because at the time as well, like, it was weird because I was, like, as much as, like, I was doing okay in school, but I was also, like, volunteering a lot in the community, and, like, I worked for the Premier's Council on Youth Opportunities and stuff like that. I was doing all these things. At the same time, I had administration being like, you're going to amount to nothing. You're a lazy person. And I was like, what are you talking about? And it's weird, the preconceived notions that, like, of these people trying to constantly drag you down based on their own racial biases that are learned. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like I've also experienced things in regards to the faculty as well. Like, being in middle school, I was at Pope John Paul II, and I wanted to go into Indigenous language, like the First Nation language that was being taught there. And one of the principals at the time had, like, dissuaded my mom from putting me in there, and, like, you don't want to put her in there because that's where all the bad kids go. And I was like, what? Anyway, so I never ended up going into Indigenous language, but, like, it took something away from me because I hadn't really enmeshed with my First Nation peers. Yeah, so that was an interesting thing. But that's just, like, as an aside for this faculty stuff, because, like, it's interesting to hear someone else's perspective on, you know, education in Thunder Bay.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that, because even, like, thinking about, like, administration, like, persuading parents and stuff like that, because I think our parents are always, like, trying to make sure that, like, we are, like, not necessarily assimilated into, like, school culture as possible, but they want to make sure that, like, we're not bullied or ostracized for seen as less than anything like that. And when I first moved to Canada, I actually sort of went by a different name in school. So my middle name is Daniel, my first name is Kwerku. But because of the fact that administration was like, oh, look, that's not, like, a common name here, like, no one's going to get it, no one's going to say it right, you should just, like, he should go by his middle name. So I went by my middle name the vast majority of the time I was in school here.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to call you Kwerku more often.
Yeah.
Because, like, why? So I wanted to ask you another question. What does being a drag queen allow you to do or express when you are not, when you are performing, that you normally wouldn't do?
Yeah, I think similar to my drag mother, I was able to learn a lot more about my own gender identity, and I realized throughout drag about my non-binary expression. And so it allows me to express another side of myself that I don't necessarily get to express on my regular day-to-day. And I really love that. As well as with my drag, I've been able to do a lot of really cool things with it. And like, I've always, like, at first when I wanted to, when I first started doing drag, I was like, yeah, I'll be cool. Like, I'll do like hop, like pop numbers and perform on stage. And like, I wasn't really like thinking about like the aspects of drag and like what like the political aspects of it like could entail with that. And as I've grown with my drag and grown as a person, I've been able to incorporate more like politics and like advocacy within my work. I've been able to talk about Indigenous issues. I've been able to talk about the Black Lives Matter movement, talk about queer issues and things like that that I never really considered something like early on in drag because I wasn't educated about like the background of drag. And like as I've grown and as I've taken the time to educate myself and talk to queer others within my community and others, I've been able to learn more about like the roots of it and been able to continue to grow in my advocacy. And I really love that. And like, I want to be able to continue to like shine a light on a lot of the different inequalities within Canada.
Yeah, for sure. I completely agree. I'm glad that you've taken the time to, you know, speak on these issues and bring awareness to them because it's so needed. Do you feel refreshed or much happier when you have the opportunity to express either the feminine or masculine side of yourself?
Yeah, I think that, I think especially with COVID, because of the fact that it was just like, I moved to Toronto and I was like, I've moved to the big city and I'm ready to explore and like become bigger and increase my drag. And then COVID happened. And then I didn't do any of the things I was thought I was going to right away. And I was like very stuck at home. And like, I all the drag opportunities that I was going to have, like kind of like ended up like reducing to a lot of more virtual things and more sporadically. So I was like not expressing a lot, like a big portion of myself. And I think during that time I realized that like being able to not explore the more feminine side of myself, it was like really detrimental to like my own mental health and the mental health, and that ended up transferring and triggering some like physical health aspects as well. And it was like, and through realizing that, like, I took the opportunity to do more virtual and digital drag and things like that that allowed me to express myself, but also helped me, I think that really helped me truly see where I was on a non-binary spectrum. And so, like, being more, and now being able to be more front presenting from my day-to-day depending on how I feel and what I want to do, and, like, not being needing to be worried or being afraid of that. Because I think in Thunder Bay, I had a lot of fear about, like, how I presented. And then through moving, I was like, you know, like, through moving and then COVID, like, helped me realize that. And now, like, I can come back and, like, I can come back and like, go to Shoppers and half drag because I have to do something and not be afraid of being hate-crimed. Or if I am going to get hate-crimed, being able to stick up for myself now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, I totally love how you came up in here and, like, with half drag, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm so happy to see that you're able to do that and now as compared to maybe before. Like, did you feel like you... Sorry, I'm, like, messing up my words here.
No.
But I'm glad that you feel more comfortable to do that because it's really important to, you know, embrace that side of you, right? Just another question. How did you adjust with all the... Actually, wait. So we did cover a little bit of pandemic stuff and you did talk about your performances online. This is just another question out of everything else. Who is your favorite drag queen on RuPaul?
Oh, gee, okay. This is like a toughie because like, God. So I have a lot of like really like, I think like my all time fave would probably be Bob the Drag Queen. Like just like they helped inspire a lot of aspects of my drag. And very early on in my drag career, I had a chance to like meet them in person and not even at a show. I was visiting Toronto for a different drag show. And then like after that drag show, I just went to go see some local drag with a friend. And like Bob was just there like at a drag, just like chilling and watching the show. And I was like, holy shit. That's Bob the Drag Queen. And this is like before I had a chance to perform with any Rue Girls or anything like that. So I was like, oh my God. My friend was like, go up to them. And I was like, no. I ended up going up to them and talking to them afterwards. So it was great. But yeah, I think that they're like my all time. But like in terms of queens I've met or performed with, like one of my favorites would be like Chi Chi Devane. Just a genuine, kind soul, like one of the nicest drag queens I've ever had the chance to meet and perform with. And I remember when she came to Thunder Bay for a show that we were doing here, Gia, my drag grandmother, and also my drag mother as well, who would had asked if I can help with like picking up some of the queens at the airport. So I picked her up from the airport, and I was like, "Oh my god, I can't believe Gigi Germain's in my car right now." And I was like, so I dropped her off at the airport. I was like, "Okay, like, have fun. See you tomorrow at the show." And I was just gonna go, and she was like, "You want to hang out?" And I was like, "Yes, I want to hang out." So like, we just like kind of hung out. Like, I got to learn more about her and like to just talk and share with her, and it was like really. It was a really awesome experience, and like really love her.
That sounds like really magical, actually. Just for our listeners, would you be able to explain what RuPaul Drag Race is?
Yeah, so RuPaul's Drag Race is it's a TV competition show now that's been going on for about almost 14 years. That highlights the first started highlighting queens of the United States, but has now spread and has franchises within the UK. Australia and New Zealand, Brazil now is coming, Holland, and now we even have a franchise in Canada, and season two is approaching around the corner too, which is so exciting.
What are your plans on getting there?
I'm hoping for season three. I'm not on season two, but I'm hoping for season three, and I can't say much about season two, but there are some phenomenal queens. I know all the cats, so...
Well, I can't wait to see you on there. And when you're on there, just know that we're all going to be rooting for you.
Yes, hopefully I get on season three, and I'm excited for you all to root for me.
Just one last question.
Of course.
So what kind of advice would you give to young people that are interested in doing drag?
I would say, like, just kind of, like, I know it's so weird, but, like, just do it. Like, it sounds like such a cheesy and, like, vague answer, but, like, just, like, if you're interested in drag, like, you don't have to, like, drag can get expensive very fast. So, like, you don't have to, like, go out there and buy, like, the most expensive makeup or the expensive wigs or outfits right away. Like, start with, like, some cheap makeup. Like, I think, like, the first time I ever, like, did drag makeup, half of the makeup was from, like, Dollarama and, like, the cheapest stuff I can get from Shoppers. And, like, I looked really bad, but, like, it helped build a foundation for me to, like, slowly grow. And, like, it allows you to try it out and see if, like, it's for you. Because, like, even though I look back on it, I was like, ooh, that was rough. Like, I, at the time, I was like, you couldn't tell me nothing. I was like, wow, I am the best queen that's ever existed.
You was the fiercest.
Yeah, I felt so fierce. Like, it really helped me to, like, explore into it and dive in more. And, like, in Thunder Bay, like, there are very many opportunities for you to start doing drag, especially now that COVID is, like, dying down as we're looking at bouncing forward. I no longer live here, but I still do run a drag house here with myself and my drag daughter and our other friend called the House of Injustice, and we are the most diverse drag house in Thunder Bay. And we're always looking for new performers, always looking for new people who are interested in learning and starting to do drag. So, like, always check it out, reach out. My drag daughter, Anita Blunt, she manages day-to-day operations for the most part of the house. So,
Awesome. Thank you so much for giving our youth that amazing advice. I also just wanted to open up the floor for any additional questions from my peers here.
Hello. It's not really a question, but I do like a drag show up north too. And my drag name would be Nandakwizi. And in our language, it means like a person who teases, say. So they call me Nanda when I go to up north. So when is Nanda gonna come out? Like, maybe next year when the COVID dies down. Yeah, it's pretty fun when doing a drag show. You get to like really express your feminine side. Yeah, it's really it is powerful and very what's that word? Empowering. Yeah.
No, definitely. I feel that. Like, I remember, like, when I first, like, moved and I'd come back and, like, I'd come back and visit before, like, this, like, before, like, just before COVID was, like, really, like, kicking everyone down. And so, like, I'd come back and, like, whether I came back for shows or not, it was always, like, nice to, like, come back and, like, show, like, the growth and, like, show, like, just being able to express another side of myself that at the time, like, I didn't realize I could express more in my day-to-day.
I actually have another question.
Yeah.
So I was wondering, when you started doing drag, were your family supportive of it?
So my sister was really supportive of it. My mom, however, she just didn't. So it's funny that my mom was the one who introduced me to RuPaul's Drag Race as a show. But like, she didn't like carry on watching it. She watched a couple seasons and that was kind of it. But for a very long time, actually, my mom did not know I did drag. I was not out to my mom. And like, throughout working at Sephora, like I was like building drag and like buying more wigs. And she'd be like, oh, what is all this for? And I'd be like, oh, I do costuming for other performers. Nice. And she'd be like, oh, okay. And I would like get ready for drag shows at friends' houses, and I didn't tell her for a very long time. And it wasn't until actually just like the summer before I moved, where I won the Queen of Pride pageant for Thunder Bay. And I was on the newspaper, and I was like, oh shit, I think I have to tell her. So like, I sat her down and I was like, hey, what if I told you I did drag? And what if I told you it was really good and I just won a pageant, so it's fine, you don't have to worry about it, and yes, it's expensive, but I'm making money, so it's okay. And she was like, oh boy, okay, and this is what you want to do? And I was like, yeah. And she was like, okay, I don't get it, but awesome. I was like, cool. And I was like, also, I'm leaving to go to Kenora for a drag show today. Because I do this thing where, because I'm always afraid, I don't know why, where I tell my mom like big news right before like a trip so I can like escape if there's any backlash. There's never been any backlash. But it's kind of like, so I was like, okay, I'll tell her before I leave. So that way if she like gets mad, I can like escape and like she can like calm down and then I'll come back. So but yeah, no, she's really supportive of it. She's especially like, I've come back, this is the most she's ever seen me and dragged me coming back now. Like, she's the one who drove me here today. She sees it all. So, and like I've been styling like wigs all week for like the video shoot, and she's like, do you need any help? Like, is there anything I can do? And I was like, no, it's all good, but thank you. Yeah,
that's so touching.
She's been great. Yeah,
I'm glad to hear that. That's excellent. Yeah, I think that's pretty much all I have that I was thinking of asking you. But I did want to thank you once again for coming here and, you know, taking time out of your visit to Thunder Bay to revamp and like to come talk with us. Like, I really appreciate you sharing your story and for sharing like these important aspects of drag. Did you have anything additional that you wanted to tell our listeners?
Yeah. Like, so, well, first of all, thank you so much for having me on here. I really love it. And I love the fact of like being able to like share my story for youth and like hopefully encourage and inspire others to do it. And like I said before, if anyone is interested in the Thunder Bay, even in the Northwestern Ontario area, because we have queens all over Northwestern Ontario, if you want to join our drag house or House of Injustice on Instagram, and if you want to follow me on Instagram, it's Kenya Remy.
Yes, there we go.
Yes.
Miigwech, and thank you for listening in. Be sure to give us a follow on Facebook and Instagram at Nijaic Alliance.